15. What was the first song we sang tonight? Count Your Blessings. Why? Why should we remember our blessings? Name one.
Reminds us
he's real and he loves us. Exodus 15 is a song of Moses. It takes place after they have been delivered from Egypt. They have seen, experienced the 10 plagues, affected by some of them exempted from. They've seen what God did to deliver them from the bondage. The 430-year period of time they spent in Egypt, where they have grown from 75 to several million in that 430 years. Oppressed, just burdened with what was going on there, and then God shows up. And by that mighty hand, not only gets them released, gets them thrown out. Go! Take what you want. Get out of here. And they go. And then suddenly it turns on them. And here comes Pharaoh's armies closing in on them. And they're up against the Red Sea. And it looks hopeless. And once again, God swoops in and by a mighty hand delivers them. And this song is a response to what God has done. Certainly, it's a song of Moses, so Moses appears to be even singing it, but it looks like the people are all involved in this as well, and Miriam joins in with the ladies at the end of the thing. But I want you to just, let's look at a few verses through here. Verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel, okay, so they're all in part of this, this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I'll prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I'll exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. They got it, right? They understand. This is our God. This is what our God has done for us. This mighty hand of God. Verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And there's more than in what I'm skipping, but I'm just picking out maybe some of the most significant ones here. But how they're emphasizing who God is and what he's done and what he can do. The mighty among the gods, none like him. Verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Those other nations are going to take notice of what our God has done. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. They till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And that became reality as the other nations did hear and feared what this God would do to them. Even remembering it 40 years later, when Israel finally got through the wandering in the wilderness, these other nations still remembered this. And at this time, the people of Israel are aware of it. Verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. They understand what God's plan is coming in the future. This place where we're going to. You've put your name there, God. You're going to establish yourself there. You're a sanctuary there forever and ever and reign from there. Verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So as they pause after they've seen God doing all these things, and this song of praise and worshiping and honoring Him for all that He's done, and recognizing that there's more to come, that God's got a plan and purpose of all in all of this. He's going somewhere with all of this. 3 days pass. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Should it be a big deal? Of course not. After what they've seen and acknowledged God's doing on their behalf, parting those waters so that they can walk through on dry ground, and then God bringing the waters together again to drown the armies of Pharaoh in them, to deliver them. 3 days, and they're without water. Verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" What are we going to do now? How about trusting the God that got you here in the first place? But they didn't, did they? And they murmured, and they complained, and they griped. He'd helped them before. Can He help them this time as well? Verse 25. And he, that is Moses, cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. There he proved them. And they cry, and Moses, "Just take that tree and throw it in there, and it's all right." They were able to then drink those waters. In spite of their fainting, God still responded and provided for their need. Verse 26, and he said, after God has done this and shows them once again He's capable, Moses said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes." So here are the conditions. Here's what God wants from you. Here's what God expects of you, and here's what God will do. "I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." You won't suffer any disease if you'll just be obedient to me, to follow my commands. The things that I did to Egypt in your sight, that you witnessed, I won't do to you. And now watch. They went 3 days. The water wasn't so good. They complained about it. It says, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. God was bringing them to this place, I think, anyway. Mara was just a brief stop along the way. This is where God intended them to be. Plenty of water, 12 wells, and even these palm trees for I suppose, for shade, maybe other reasons as well. Not for sure about all that, but this God had prepared for them. And they camped there. They were journeying to this point. Now, they're going to spend a little bit of time in this place God's prepared for them. And throughout all of it, God is orchestrating what's going on and providing for them and protecting them and showing himself strong on their behalf, as he's done in the past, as they know that he can do. And they're camped there by this water, but how long is the trust going to last? Not long. Chapter 16, verse 2. Well, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. As soon as they leave the 12 wells and the palm trees, the grumbling starts again. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Really? Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on a sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, and even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be, when the Lord shall give you an evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are against us, not against us, but against the Lord." There's kind of a warning in there, isn't there? Be careful, folks. You're murmuring against God. The God who has been so attentive to what you need and so protective of you throughout this. Verse 12, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning shall be full of bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." That's what God wants. And he puts up with all of this, just hoping that they'll get it. Of course, he knows what the outcome is going to be. But we can look at this thing, and I had someone tell me one time, if God would just do some of the things today that he's done in the past, it'd be a whole lot easier to trust him. The bread from heaven, or the coin out of a fish's mouth, or pick whatever you want. Just one of those fantastic things. But it didn't help them. And it wouldn't help us. We just got to decide to trust God and believe that he's going to do what he's told us he's going to do. And stop the murmuring and the fainting of our hearts and just wait upon Him and trust Him. That's what He wanted the people of Israel to do. That's what He wants the people of Grace Baptist Church to do as well. Just trust Him. He's the same God. And we can go and we can see God work a mighty work in our own personal lives or someone near and dear to us. And just like the people of Israel, turn right around and our hearts will faint once again. But God, who was rich in mercy, wherewith His great love, wherewith He loved us, is patient and long-suffering towards us. Trust Him. Depend upon Him. And then stand back and watch and see what God will do. I get antsy too. You think, well, but maybe I don't deserve it. No, we don't. Just put that on the table. Yep, I don't deserve it, God. They didn't deserve any of this. And God still did it because they're His children. And that's what we are. Though we're undeserving, though we rebel and resist Him, yet God is still our loving Heavenly Father who desires to show Himself strong on our behalf and desires for us to know that He is the Lord, our God. Hope that provides something for you this week.